Good morning. This is Doug Brunel at Abundant Life Family Church, and I want to welcome you to our Sunday morning Easter service 2020. This will be one that go down in the history books. Today, there's no one here with me. The weather's bad, the pandemic going on, all the different things, and so I decided to just hold a solitude service, my way of connecting with you and telling you that I know you're out there, and some of us are feeling kind of alone. But anyway, today we want to celebrate Jesus. By the way, I have news. He is risen, and we have a new hope. You know, I want to start today, if I could, by reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to give you a second to grab that, and because we don't have those on the screen today. But so if you'd get your Bible and open that up to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. I would like to read from that if I could. All right. So it says, in starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of in all kinds of trials." You know, I would just like to break this down, and by starting in verse 3. It has so many good things to say. It says that God, in his great mercy, gave us new birth. And that means that he gave us a new start, one with a living hope. You know, a living hope is hope in something that lasts forever, as you know, opposed to hope that is only for a season. You know, our old hope only provided hope for one lifetime. Maybe your life would go well, better than you ever dreamed of or expected, or maybe not. But it really doesn't make a difference, because you only get one shot. It only lasts for a specific period of time. And so to get to start over with a new hope, a hope in something that lasts forever, that's a big deal. You know, and that new hope came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It opened the door to new possibilities, to a new possibility that we too could escape the finality of the grave. And, you know, back in the 70s, when I was in high school, six-pack cans of beverages were bundled together with plastic rings, and you know, much like this ring here, only they were, I don't know, they were somewhat different. They were plastic, but anyway, you know, bottles will come in these today. I've never seen cans in these today, but maybe they still do. But anyway, these cans would come, and then they'd fold these up, and they would make like one ring out of them, and then you had to like bust it. And when you go around challenging people to break those, and you could never do it, you know, it was, and so you, after a while, you just kind of gave up on it. And then one time I heard, you know, about this guy who could break these, and I remember, you know, seeing him, and he broke them, and it was just like, whoa, dude, you know, what a he-man type thing. And then people started breaking them, you know, all over the place all the time. So it was like, you know, once you saw someone do it, you know, a new hope was kind of birthed in you, and then you had set a goal to, you know, do that yourself. I'm not even going to try that today. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, but I don't want to embarrass myself, so I'm just going to let it go. But anyway, you know, and so seeing Jesus, you know, come out of that grave gave us new birth into a new hope. Suddenly, there's this possibility that we never had before. Not only did we find a new hope of coming out of the grave ourselves, what we found was a hope in an internal inheritance. You know, according to, I found this on the internet, according to T. Rowe Price study, to a T. Rowe Price study, the average inheritance will last only 76 days before it's gone. and I wouldn't be waiting around for your parents to die as an investment strategy. You know, our inheritance on earth, regardless of how long it lasts, is not eternal. And so, you know, we can trust God, you know, to take care of our carnal needs in this world. That's good news. But that isn't the big story. None of what he gives you in this life will last very long. And so we have an eternal inheritance waiting for us because Jesus came out of the grave. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now, I know a lot of our teachings today are focused on, you know, our immediate needs, on the blessings that belong to us now. And but earthly blessings do not compare to the ones that are coming. So I wouldn't be all that focused on how, you know, you're going to come out of this current pandemic. You're going to be fine as a child of God. I would be focused on what comes after all pandemics have passed. You know, and because we have great things in store for us. Look at verse 5. In 1 Peter verse 5, he says, "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Through faith in what Jesus accomplished when he rose from the dead, we are shielded by God's power. Shielded from what? Well, the pandemic, the trials and the troubles that we go through in life. That doesn't mean that we never go through bad things because we're shielded. It just means we can't be destroyed. It means that our internal inheritance can never be touched or harmed. You know, our destiny cannot be changed. You know, we're not about to lose everything. Our inheritance is protected in heaven. For us, life is not a one-shot deal. For how long are we shielded? You know, well, until the coming salvation that is going to be revealed in the last time. And so, you know, this isn't the salvation that was revealed when Jesus died on the cross. This is a salvation that's going to be revealed in the very last time when Jesus returns. You know, you right now, you may see disaster. You know, you may see sickness. You may see things that strike you with panic. But as a Christian, you shouldn't. What you should be seeing is the salvation that's coming. You know, and if Jesus had not risen, you know, all these things that I talk about, you know, this hope of an eternal inheritance, a new start, those kinds of things, it would just be bunk. But he did. Jesus did raise from the grave, and he is coming back. And living in this world without a new hope, I'll tell you, that's what's bunk. You know, people choose bunk because they would rather have the temporary pleasures of this world. You know, they want to call their own shots. They want to do their own thing. You know, they want to be their own judge. Trust me, I understand all of these things. But they'd rather have all that rather than have an eternal treasure. And so, but Christians should not choose bunk. We shouldn't forget what is coming. Because of the trouble that we're having now, you know, shouldn't just make us lose sight of the blessing that we received when Jesus rose out of that grave. Laying down and quitting is not what we do. Letting ourselves get all worked up is not what we do. You know, if you let yourself lose control and you get into doubt and unbelief, I mean, all of us as Christians, I'm sure, do that from time to time, probably way more often than we'd like to admit. But, you know, if you do that, at least have the sense to get back up when you're through wallowing in your misery, and, you know, and put your trust back in Jesus. In all this trouble, you should be greatly rejoicing, even if current circumstances are not the best. This is an opportunity for you to prove the genuineness of your faith. For us, this just means that Jesus is closer to getting here. And, you know, and so we need to prove the genuineness of our faith so that the result is praise to God. You know, your genuine faith in Jesus is worth more than anything you have on earth. If your faith is sustaining you right now, praise the Lord. You know, you have a reason to be excited. You know, you're not going to be disappointed when Jesus comes with his reward. You know, Jesus, he rose from the grave, but you can't see him. Still, you love him. and you believe in him. And so this is proof that you're receiving the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. And so, you know, Jesus is going to come back. We're going to get the rewards that are sufficient for us, that are meant for us, that are designed for eternal creatures. And all of this temporary things are going to pass away. Peter tells us that we need to look at things differently than the world does. You know, when they see tragedy, we see a blessing coming. You know, Jesus has risen and he's coming back. Have we preached too much in the church about the blessings of this life? I hope not. You know, have we dulled the good news of Christ's return by emphasizing the blessings of this life? You know, I hope not. You know, we should be praying for his return, because that is what our hearts long for, not begging him to stay away so that we can have another night to glory in our flesh. You know, I see these posts all the time where, you know, a young child is surprised by their dad, who is a military guy, and he's been overseas for months and months, and he comes home, and it's kind of a surprise reunion. Or you see the young bride who is surprised, and, you know, the same kind of situation. Her husband's been gone overseas serving, and he comes home. Sometimes it's a female soldier coming home, or a wife, or a mother. And every time I see one of those videos, I can't help but cry. I'm such a crybaby over those kinds of things. But they're so touching. You know, the thing about that is I remember hoping my dad wouldn't come home, because we were having an unsanctioned party or something else that we weren't supposed to be doing. Sometimes he came home when we didn't want him to. And so I just want to ask this question: which picture defines your heart? Think how excited a child would be to receive back their father from the grave. I want to be excited about Christ's return. Jesus came out of the grave so that we could have new birth into a new hope, so that we could dream about treasures in another place, so that we could dream about an eternal inheritance. Some people believe that you can have both. You can love the world and what it offers and then go to heaven when it's all over. And I'm just telling you, that's a lie. You cannot. Either you love Jesus and you want him to come, or you love the world and you don't want him to come. People who love the world probably aren't listening today. But if they are, they probably don't like this message, unless they're sick of their self-led life. Christians who have their hopes tied to this world probably don't like this message, you know, unless they're tired of being cheated once again, and they're ready to put their hope in Jesus. There was a young rich man in the Bible, and he wanted to have a new hope. But he couldn't let go of his current life. He couldn't stop loving what he had so that he could love Jesus. And he went away sad. Now I pray better things for all of us. Maybe this current pandemic will give you the push that you need. Let all of us be pushed to love Jesus more. Jesus is risen, and he is coming with his reward. Let us be looking for that, celebrating that, rejoicing over that. Let us pray. Maybe you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you're ready to do that right now. And I'm going to give you that chance. Maybe you're a Christian with too many roots in this life. You haven't been letting Jesus lead your life. I'm going to give you a chance to get back on track right now. Just simply bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, you looked at us at our worst, and you loved us, and you went to the grave. You died for us. But you didn't stay there. You came out of the grave so that we could have life, eternal life, an eternal inheritance kept for us. And so if there's that person right now that's ready to yield to you, Lord, I just pray for them that you would just take deep root in their heart today, that they would be changed and be filled with a new hope. Lord, for that Christian today that has just been caught up in the things of the world, fear is dominating their life, and they just want to be set free, Lord, I would ask that you would help them to let go of the things in the world that are distracting them, and that they would take hold of you, that they reaffirm, Lord, their affection for you, their commitment to you, their confession of you as their Savior. They would let you lead their life. Father God, we thank you right now that you sent Jesus, your Son, to this earth to die for our sins. He rose on the third day, and he's now seated at your right hand. And we believe that, and we thank that. Lord, we confess you today as our Lord and Savior, as the guide to our life, the leader of our life, that we might be filled with a new hope, a living hope, that will keep us through every storm, every tragedy, every bit of bad news. That every day, Lord, we would rise in the anticipation that this might be the day that you come with our reward. Lord, may we never lose heart or lose sight of where our treasures really are. We thank you so much that we learn as Christians not to depend upon the things of this life or the ability of our hands, but that we learn to trust in you and you alone. Thank you so much.